I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, as we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King, we think about the kingship of Jesus and the nature of his kingdom. Situated at the end of liturgical year, the feast clarifies and emphasizes what kind of king we will be waiting for during Advent. Both of our readings today are indeed about Jesus as king, but they're very different in how they portray Jesus. The Gospel of John shows us Jesus during his trial. He is already betrayed by Judas, abandoned by the disciples, and questioned by the high priest. By the time Jesus stands before Pilate, Peter has already denied him, as Jesus told him he would. And right after his conversation with Pilate, Jesus will be flogged, crowned with a crown of thorns as a way for the soldiers to mock him, and crucified with an inscription on the cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This is a portrait of a suffering king, ready to die for the sins of humanity. He is humble, doesn't fight back, and it seems that he accepts the title of the king reluctantly. Our Revelation reading, however, portrays Jesus in his glory, naming him the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is coming with the clouds, and no one will be able to miss his arrival. It will be indeed spectacular, breathtaking, magnificent. He is Lord God the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega. This is a portrait of a glorious king who has dominion over all the earthly kings and who is known to everyone. Two different visions, two different messages. I wonder which one do you like most? Which one draws your attention to, makes you feel? Which one is closer to how you see Jesus? Is he a suffering king or a glorious king? Is he both? When I was preparing for the sermon, I was looking for a picture for a service sheet cover. It was interesting that when I Googled Christ the King, all the images represented Jesus as a glorious king seated on the throne, surrounded by angels. And I didn't see any that would represent him as a suffering king on his way to crucifixion. And even when I specifically looked for Jesus in the crown of thorns as an alternative to the glorious images, even the suffering Jesus somehow looked heroic and represented power. Is it really important, though, how we see Jesus? Does the vision of Jesus in a particular way affect our theology and our faith practice? Does it show how we see ourselves as well? Apostle Peter, in his first letter, calls believers in Christ a chosen race, a royal priesthood. If Jesus is king, what does it mean for us as his followers? If we go back to Jesus' encounter with Pilate, it can reveal important things about the nature of his kingship and his kingdom. Firstly, when Jesus is asked if he is the king of the Jews, a question that is recorded in all four Gospels, Jesus replies with his own question. Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me? He could have given Pilate the answer straight away. He might have even tried to explain straight away what kind of king he is. Instead, he asks Pilate why he wants to know. Is it because he genuinely wants to know and is open-minded enough to comprehend the answer? Or is he simply following the procedure, knowing what Jesus has been accused of? If we think about ourselves and how we can relate to this conversation, we might think if Jesus could ask us the same question. Not because we're in the same position as Pilate and not because we're accusing him of something, but simply because Jesus is interested in our intentions as well. When we want to know who Jesus is, do we genuinely ask because we are ready for the truth, or do we ask to justify our own position, our own pre-existing beliefs that might be affected by our religious, cultural, and political environment? Are we ready to know the truth, to listen and to learn? Or do we think we already know because we have been taught to see Jesus in a particular way? Secondly, Jesus makes it clear that despite him being a king, his kingship, his rule is not a rule of any earthly king, but a different kind of rule. "My kingdom is not from this world," says Jesus. But what does he mean by that? Looking at Jesus' life is essential to understand his rule. Even from the start, he already breaks down expectations about how the Messiah should come into the world. He is born in Bethlehem, as was prophesied, but his coming into the world is not glorious as would be expected. He is not born in a palace or in a house of a wealthy family. Instead, he is born in a stable, laid in a manger, and his first visitors are shepherds. Then when he starts his ministry, he chooses his disciples from ordinary people, such as fishermen, and even from a controversial profession, such as a tax collector. He does not live in luxury. He does not even stay in one house in one place. Instead, he travels from town to town, from village to village, curing the sick and teaching people about love and mercy, about how they should treat each other with kindness and compassion, and about God forgiving everyone who truly repents. This was not the expectation for the Messiah, who was supposed to be a powerful man freeing the nation from the Roman occupation, but this was God's plan, which quite often differs from human expectations. Jesus continues by saying, "If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Jesus emphasizes that his rule is not about politics of the world, and it is not backed up by human power. It does not rely on human strength or human expectations, and his rule should not be promoted by force. Ironically, the history of Christianity has not always been peaceful, and on the contrary, there have been many wars in the name of God, and there have been many forceful conversions. It shows that we still do not fully understand what it means to be Jesus' disciples, and that we should learn about Jesus genuinely asking the question of who he is. And finally, Jesus says that he came to testify to the truth, and that everyone who belongs to the truth listens to his voice. Being part of his royal priesthood means belonging to the truth, belonging to the message of the good news that is actively lived out. Belonging to the truth means staying open-minded, ready to constantly learn about who Jesus is through other people's experiences, and to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit, who goes where he wants. Belonging to the truth means listening to the voice of Jesus that is being revealed not only through scriptures, but also through the lives of others who might be different from us, but who are all created in the image of God. As the truth is multifaceted, it can only be learned through multiple sources and should be seen from more than one angle. And the search for truth starts with a genuine question of who Jesus is. How do we portray Jesus? As a suffering king? As a glorious king? Both visions are biblical, and both are valid. But there is a certain danger in seeing Jesus just as a glorious king, neglecting the vision of Jesus as a humble king, peaceful King, merciful King. It might be difficult to hold two visions of Jesus in mind together, but we shall always search for more understanding, genuinely asking who Jesus is, and we should be ready to listen to his voice that we can hear in more than just one way. Amen.